today. It's been lovely to meet some of you, and perhaps if I haven't met, it'd be lovely to meet you at the end tonight. And it's been a privilege to preach here, and tonight we're going to be continuing to look at Mark chapter 4, not because we didn't get it this morning, but because I think there's more to see here. And we thought about listening this morning. Tonight we're going to be thinking about sharing. How do we share Jesus' words, and how does Jesus encourage us to go on doing that? And it feels, just being here today, like a church that's very active in doing that. And so I hope tonight's passage will encourage us all as we continue to do that. So shall I pray and ask for help? Our Father, thank you for the words that have been entrusted to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that in us, you have put the words of eternal life to share with other people. You've given us the opportunity to point others in your words to who you are. And you use us as your people to make you known on earth. Lord, we know that we can't do that in our own strength, and you must work by your spirit. We thank you, Lord, though, that we can have confidence as your people, that you will use us. And so tonight, please remind us again of the power of your word, and please send us out to continue to share it however we can. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I just want to start by introducing you to a few people. So first of all, Sarah. Sarah is someone who used to be eager to share her faith with others. As she started her job, she was excited about the opportunities that might bring for her to speak to others about Jesus. But now, a few years into that job, she feels pretty discouraged. She's prayed, she's shared, she's invited people to church, but she's seen nothing. No change, no fruit. People just aren't interested. In fact, sometimes they're quite hostile. And she wonders what she's doing wrong. And there's Paul. Paul's been praying for his wife for years. When he became a Christian all those years ago, he'd been confident that she'd believe too. But now it's been 10 years. And when he sees no change in her, he's beginning to give up. He's wondering why God seems to be doing nothing in her life. He doesn't understand. And then there's Bob and Heather. They've been leading the youth work now for 3 years. At first they loved it. But now, several years in, they're beginning to wonder, what are they really achieving? Attendance is pretty patchy. They've got the same problems that keep cropping up. And it feels like what they contribute is just small. It's insignificant in the grand scale of things. And they're thinking about handing that over to someone else. Now, I made those stories up, but they could so easily be true. I know that of us in Nottingham, and I'm sure many of us could identify with some of those things. Perhaps, as you've tried to share your faith with other people, you wonder, what are we really achieving here? Maybe, as you've prayed for others and nothing seems to happen, you wonder if it's really worth it. And maybe you just feel that the part you could play in God's kingdom is tiny. It's easy, isn't it, to become discouraged when we share God's words with others. It's easy to think about giving up. And I think Jesus knew that would be true. And in these verses, whilst he's warning the crowd, he's also preparing his disciples for the ministry that they're going to go and do. He's teaching them what to expect so that as they go out and share his words, they're ready. He knows it won't be easy. He knows they'll be tempted to be discouraged. And so he gives us, and he gives them, these wonderful parables, these three parables about seeds. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. We're going to see wonderful encouragement to keep on sowing Jesus' words. Words that encourage us that it's always worth it, that God's kingdom is always growing. And so as we look at them, I want us to see three ways that we're to entrust the work of the kingdom, the growth of the kingdom, to God. So first, as we sow Jesus' words, we need to entrust the responses to God. And we see this in the parable of the sower. Now, this morning we looked at it in detail, but I just want to refresh it again now. So look down to verse 3. I'm going to read the parable again. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no roots, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, Jesus tells a story of this farmer who goes out to sow his seeds. And as he does, he scatters it on the soils, and some seed grows, it produces a crop, but much of the seed is lost, isn't it? It's either eaten by the birds, scorched by the sun, or choked out by the thorns. The sower gets a mix of responses, a mix of results from the seed that he scatters. And we saw this morning, didn't we, in verse 14, that Jesus says that the seed represents his words. And the soils represent people who hear those words. And so what this parable is showing us on one level is that as Jesus' words are spoken, those who share them, like the farmer, should expect to see a mix of results, a mix of responses. Sometimes those words are going to fall on good soil, and people will listen and receive them and believe them. But sometimes they will fall on bad soil, and people will reject them. People won't receive them, and they won't believe what they are. And if you think about Jesus' ministry, that's exactly what he demonstrated, didn't he? Just think about his ministry. Although the crowds flocked to be around him, in this passage there's a huge multitude listening to him. At his death, he was deserted by everyone as the world tried to silence him for good. And when he returned to heaven, he left just a handful of followers behind. That was all the good soil he had to show for his ministry on earth. Jesus, the greatest teacher, saw good and bad responses to his words. And again, if you think about the disciples who would go on and take this message out, as they began to spread the gospel, you just have to look through the book of Acts to see the range of responses that they got. As they preached the same message of the gospel, in some people it brought joy, in others it brought anger. Some people believed what they heard, and others rejected it. And isn't it the same for us today? Although we'd love it if every time we spoke Jesus' words, if every time we shared the gospel, people accepted it. If every time we spoke about him, people understood and believed like that. We know that the reality is that that isn't what happens. We see mixed responses to Jesus' words. And as we do, I think it's easy for us to become discouraged. I remember when I started at university, how hard this was to learn. I'd become a Christian just 6 months before, and I'd come fresh from a summer of outreach doing beach missions, and I was eager to share my faith at university. I was excited about what God might do. But at the end of my first year, I was starting to wonder what I was doing wrong. I'd taken people to events where the gospel was presented as clearly as I could imagine, and people would just walk away completely unchanged or bored. I had a friend who showed so much interest, who did a course to explore what Christianity was about. And as we got to the end, he said to me that he believed it was true, but it just would cost too much to become a Christian. And I had another friend who professed faith, but inside 1 week had given it up because of the pressure of her parents. I'm sure you can think of experiences maybe similar to that. Maybe it's colleagues who in 5 or 10 or 20 years have just shown no interest in the faith that you have. Maybe it's family members that you pray for daily, but they still don't believe. Or maybe it's friends who once followed Jesus, but now have turned back because he asked too much. You see, as we face with responses like this, it's so easy to become discouraged, isn't it? We want to see fruit. And when we don't, we ask why. What's wrong? What am I doing wrong? We wonder if it's us. If we were clearer or worked harder, then maybe we'd see better results. Or maybe we wonder, is it the message? Is there something wrong with the words that we share? And if we made them easier to accept, maybe we'd see better results. Or maybe we just think, is this really worth it? Is it really worth trying to share this message with the people around us when these words seem to do nothing? Well, as we're tempted to give up, as we're tempted to stop sowing, this parable gives us hope. And the way it ends gives us confidence. Look again at verse 8. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced. Some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. You see, this is what we need to remember. Yes, there will be mixed responses. Yes, Satan will snatch away God's words. Persecution will scorch it out. Temptation will choke it out. But despite all of that, there will be good ground. God will make sure that the seed of his word grows. He'll make sure that it produces a harvest, a huge harvest, not a small one, 130, 60, or 100 times what was sown. And so as we share the word, we need to be realistic. There will be mixed responses. But we need to be optimistic. Because just as surely as there will be mixed responses, there will be good responses as Jesus' words are shared. Now at home, my son Daniel has got a colouring book. And maybe you've used these before. But inside the book, every page looks the same. Just black and white and blank. But when he gets a brush and paints water on the page, the colours start to appear. It's one of those magic colour books. And a picture is formed on the page. And as Daniel paints on the page, he doesn't get to choose which colour goes where. He doesn't get to decide what picture's being painted. He just reveals what has already been put there by someone else. And I think in the same way, as we share Jesus' words, something similar is happening. You see, it's not our job to draw the picture. It's not our job to decide how and when the harvest will come. That's God's job. And we've got to trust him to do that well. But our job is to paint the water on, to scatter his words wherever we can, and to wait to see what they reveal. And so as you share the gospel with those that God has put in your life, you don't know who will respond. You don't know how they will respond. You don't know when they will respond. But you can be confident that as you sow the words will find the good soil. And the good soil will produce a crop. And so, whilst God's job is to decide what happens, our job is to keep on sowing. And as we do, we can entrust the responses to him, that he will make his word grow. So first, we're to entrust the responses to God. But second, as we sow Jesus' words, we need to entrust the growth to God as well. And to teach us this, Jesus tells another parable of a farmer scattering seeds. Let's look down to verse 26, and I'll read that for us again. And he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And although this parable starts with the farmer, it's not really about the farmer. You see, in the story, he only plays two roles. He's there at the start, in verse 26, and he scatters seed on the ground, and then he turns up again at the end, in verse 29, as he gathers in the harvest. But for most of the story, the farmer does nothing. He just waits for this seed to grow. And as the farmer waits, he can't control how the seed that he puts in the ground will grow, whether it's day or whether it's night, whether he's asleep or he's awake. Verse 27, the seed sprouts and grows independently of him. He can't control when it will grow. He can't control how fast it will grow. But verse 28, all by itself, the earth yields crops. And Jesus describes it, doesn't he? Stage by stage, this seed grows. First the blades, then the heads, and then the full head of grain in the heads. You see, the farmer can't control how his seed grows, but he's got to trust that it will. That's what he does every year. He plants it, and he waits for the harvest to come. And in the same way, Jesus says this is what happens when his words are sown. Although our job is to scatter the seeds, it's not our job to make it grow. Like the farmer, we can't control how or when Jesus' words will grow in anyone's heart. And so like this farmer, we've got to entrust that growth to God and wait with confidence for the fruit to come. And so that means that as we share the gospel with others, whoever those people are, we need to remember that we have no control over the fruit that will come. As we explain God's word to other people, whatever context we might do that in, we need to remember that the power to make those words do any good at all doesn't lie with us. And although we must work as hard as we can to sow the word as well as we can and as clearly as we can, we've got to remember that it's not our methods, it's not our creativity, it's not our effort that saves anyone. It's God who makes the growth come. And so for you tonight, whether that's your family or your street, whether you're a student on campus or you're thinking of your workplace, wherever you sow the word, Jesus says, entrust the growth to me. You're powerless to do anything to make it grow. But the word isn't weak. And so keep on sowing. Because as you sow the word, it will grow. So the farmer can't control how it grows. But you see, Jesus also says that the farmer doesn't understand how it grows. Verse 27 again. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. And although the farmer knows that if he sows the seed, it will grow, he can't explain how that happens. He can't explain how the seed he buried in becomes a blade that pushes out of the ground. He can't understand how that blade then turns into a full head of grain. He just knows that if he plants the seed grows. And he's got to trust that it will, because for a lot of the time, the farmer sees nothing. As the seed's buried, he sees nothing. As the seed sprouts under the ground, he still can't see anything happening. As the stalk pushes above the surface, he doesn't see any fruit yet. He's got to wait until the grain is formed. He's got to trust that the harvest is coming. And again, isn't this our experience? Maybe as we share the gospel, it's so hard to see how God is using those words. As we teach other people, week by week, it's so hard to measure the progress that they might be making or the impact that those words are having. As we bury the seed in the hearts of other people, so often it looks like nothing might be happening at all. And this parable encourages us that even when we don't understand, the word is working. We can be confident that it's at work, even if on the surface it looks like nothing's happening. We have no idea what God might be doing below the surface. And that was certainly true in the life of a man called Luke Short. Now, Luke Short was born in Britain during the 17th century, but later he emigrated to America. And he lived to a very old age. And one day when he was aged 103, a very old man, Luke Short was on his way down the road. And in the heat of the day, he got out of breath. And so he stopped in the shade to rest under a bush. And as he sat down to catch his breath, he began to reflect on his life. And the bush reminded him of a sermon that he'd heard preached in England 88 years before, when he was just 15 years old. And as he thought about that sermon, God opened his heart, and the seed that had been sown 88 years before finally sprouted, and it grew, and Luke Short was converted. Now, the preacher who shared that gospel all those years before had no idea what God would do with his words. He didn't get to see them bear fruit. He was long dead when Luke Short was finally saved. But the seed that he scattered all those decades before, it wasn't wasted. God made it grow. He was good soil. Now, that might not happen for us, but in the same way, we have no idea what God might do as we share his word with others. We don't need to understand. We don't need to see. We need to trust that it's never a waste of time to share God's word with anyone. And so again, wherever you're sowing, wherever that is for you, you have no idea what God is doing. You have no idea what God might do with those words. And so Jesus says, entrust the growth to God. You don't need to understand. You don't need to see. But like the farmer, you can trust that as you sow the word will grow and the harvest will come. So we're to entrust the responses to God. We're to entrust the growth to God. But finally tonight, we're to entrust the results to God as well. And we see this in Jesus' third seed parable. Look down to verse 30. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it's sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may rest under its shade. Now in this parable, Jesus compares the mustard seed to the mustard tree, doesn't he? And to begin with, before it's planted, the mustard seed is nothing. It's a tiny seed, so small that if I held one up, you wouldn't be able to see it from where you're sat. It's insignificant. It's so tiny, a bird could just swallow it up. It could be blown away in the wind and lost just like that. The mustard seed starts as nothing. But verse 32, Jesus says, when it's planted, it grows. That little seed grows to produce a tree, no longer the smallest, but the biggest of all the herbs. And from that small, that insignificant beginning, the mustard seed is now a huge tree that provides shelter to the birds that could have once swallowed it up. Now, as Jesus tells this story, he's showing us again what happens when his words are shared. And this time, unlike the other two parables, the seed is not the words, the seed is the kingdom. That's what Jesus says. But the two are connected. The word and the kingdom come together because as God's word is shared, they grow God's kingdom. And Jesus says, just like the small mustard seeds, to begin with, that's what his kingdom looks like. It seems small and insignificant. It looks like nothing. And isn't that what it was like? As the kingdom of God arrived in Jesus, it didn't come in a show of strength. It came in the display of weakness. As the truth that Jesus spoke led him to be nailed to a cross, it looked like the mustard seed had been lost as he died on Good Friday. But that seed hadn't been lost. As we thought this morning, that seed had been planted and it grew. And on Easter Sunday, that seed sprouted as Jesus rose from the dead. And from that day, the kingdom has continued to grow. And beginning with the disciples, continuing with the church, God has grown his kingdom. As the gospel of Jesus has been preached in the world, from that tiny seed, a huge tree has been produced and continues to grow. A tree that's steadily grown to encircle the world, that's offered shelter to every nation under heaven. A tree that's pushed out its branches into every corner of society. A tree that's established its place in history, that's endured persecution, that's proven the test of time, that's stood fast whilst empires have risen. risen and fallen around it. You see, from a seed that looks so small and insignificant, God has brought huge results. As Jesus' words have been sown, his kingdom has steadily grown. And the kingdom will continue to grow as we go on sharing his words with the world. And we must believe that that's true. Because so often from where we stand, it doesn't look like it is. As the impact of Jesus' words seems so tiny, as the progress of the gospel might feel so slow, as our role might feel very small and very insignificant, we need to remember that the kingdom has grown, it is growing, and it will continue to grow. And so as we share Jesus' words in Cardiff, in Nottingham, today, and we see slow progress, when it looks from our perspective like little is happening, we need to broaden our horizons and see what God is doing. That no matter how it looks here and now, for 2,000 years, the gospel has borne fruit worldwide. Whether or not we see people saved here, across the globe, the church continues to grow every day. And whether we bring in the fruit or whether someone else does that job, God is growing his kingdom. I think maybe a helpful image here is the picture of a jigsaw. You see, as the kingdom grows, it's like a beautiful picture that's being pieced together. And as we do our bit, as we share the word, God is using us to put our piece in. And from our perspective, as we look at our piece, it might not seem like we've got much. It might not be easy to see how we're contributing. It might feel like we've just got a piece of blank sky to put in the jigsaw. But from God's perspective, each piece is a crucial part of his picture as he uses us to play our role in growing his kingdom. And so when our part looks small, when what we do feels insignificant, we need to remember what we're part of. That there's nothing more significant to play a role in doing. That the significance isn't in our piece of the puzzle. It's not in what we do and the results that we get here and now. The significance is in the masterpiece. It's in the results that God is bringing across history, across geography, across eternity, in the one tree of the kingdom. And so let's keep our eyes on the picture and not on the pieces. As we've got different roles to play, let's let God use us as he chooses to. But we might be tempted to compare or compete or feel like it would be better if we lived at a different time. Let's lift our eyes up and fix them on what God is producing. And then play our part now with joy. And perhaps for you, that's as you read the Bible with your children before bed. Perhaps it's as you meet up with a friend after work. Maybe it's as you lead in a group in church or just in a conversation with a friend. Whether you're on the front line speaking to others or maybe you just feel all I can do is to pray. Whatever your role, that role always has value and significance. Not because of the results that you see, but because it's kingdom work. And so as you play your part, as you share Jesus' words, entrust the results to God because he promises that he'll grow his kingdom. He will finish the masterpiece. He'll turn that mustard seed into the mustard tree. And we've got to trust him to do that. And so this week, let's keep on sowing with confidence. And as we do, let's remember that a day is coming when the sowing will stop, when Jesus' words will have done their work, and the time for sharing will be over. And on that day, the king will return. He'll gather in his harvest. And the kingdom will finally be complete. And as that day approaches, if he's your king, then these parables urge you to keep on sharing his words. Because on that day, when you see the harvest, you won't regret one word that you spoke about him. But But if as that day approaches, you know that he's not your king, well, these parables urge you to prepare. Because the king is coming. And when Jesus returns, it will be too late to listen to him then. And so today, as he speaks, as we thought this morning, will you have ears to hear? Will you receive the seed of his word when there's still time to believe it? Will you listen and come and find shelter in his kingdom? Well, let's pray that God might help us to do that. Our Father, we thank you for your words, for your precious words, the words that have brought us to life and have given us hope and a relationship with you as we've believed them and received them. Please, would you help us to go on receiving those words and being changed by them? And our Father, we pray also that you might give us confidence to go on sharing them with others, however that is, wherever you've put us. With the people in our lives, please give us confidence to go on speaking, to point people to Christ, and to know that the responses are in your hands. The growth is your job, and the results will be amazing. You will turn your kingdom into a glorious tree, and that it will gather together people from across the world. And Lord, remind us again that there's nothing better for us to play a part in this eternal work that will bring you glory. So please encourage us. Please help us. Because we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we come to the Lord's table, we're going to sing again. We're going to sing a song that encourages us to keep on sharing Jesus' words. It's a song you know well. It's called Facing a Task Unfinished. But it reminds us to keep on turning our minds towards God and asking for him to help us. So let's stand together and sing that.